This teaching is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this awesome time together as your children. And as I come to teach this morning from the Word of God that brings life to our hearts, I thank you for anointing upon my mind that I might grasp the revelation that will rise in abundance from my heart within. And I believe that your word will flow from my mouth smoothly, accurately, clearly, without hindrance from anything, carried by your anointing, your power, and love to each person's mind under the sound of my voice, bringing understanding and removing all confusion. And I believe that your word will enter every heart, bringing faith, dispelling every fear, for which we give you alone all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And everybody that loved Jesus said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five and you may be seated. Somebody a high five. Not your wife, not your husband. Praise the Lord. So this year, celebration is going to be in September, the last week. Is that right? Because two pastors from various CFC churches said to me, see you at celebration in October. And I said, no, it's not. It's last week of September. We need to let them very know, Dr. Johnny, as soon as possible, because they might be planning the first week of October. But it's not. It's last week of September. And we are very excited about that. Praise God. I don't know if you know this, but a great speaker, very, very well-known speaker around the world, especially in America, will be one of our speakers. John Bevere will be here. And then also a pastor from Louisiana, New Orleans, who's got a very big church there. He'll be coming as well. So the four main speakers will be Pastor Bev, those two gentlemen, and yours truly. Praise the Lord. So, praise God. This celebration will be a little different. So anyway, it's going to be wonderful. All right. Are you ready for a wonderful time in church this morning? Good. Go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning. And I'd like you to follow in your Bible. I encourage you, always bring a hard copy Bible to church, right? And a pen. A Bible that you can write in. A Bible you can write in. Now, it's nice to have the modern thing in, you know, the Bibles in your phone. I understand that's convenient. And it's nice to whip out your phone when you're at lunch, wherever it is, and read from the Bible. But the thing is, if you will write in your Bible, you will grow faster and you'll memorize more scripture. If you have a hard copy and learn to write in it, because your visual of that page, when you quote in that scripture, will come to you. Trust me, it works better for you, okay? All right. Get a Bible. If you don't have a good one, you can't write in it, throw it away. I've got some good Bibles in the bookshop for you. Acts 3:19, you found it? Repent then and return to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, Peter said that to a bunch of people that gathered around on the day of Pentecost, and he spoke to them about salvation and repentance and the Holy Ghost. So this is a powerful scripture. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord. That's what we want to focus on here. So today we are going to experience exactly that. The Bible talks about times of refreshing. So that the message this morning is titled Times of Refreshing. This is a time of refreshing right now. 2 Corinthians 3:17. I'm using the NIV translation. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. So where the Holy Spirit is, there's always freedom or liberty. Got that? That's what the Bible said. Say that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord, brings freedom and liberty. Now, the same thing really in the Old Testament, Isaiah 10:27, a well-known verse of scripture. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And the yoke, the burden, will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, a yoke in the Old Testament would always depict bondage, because they would span the oxen with the yoke and use them to plow the fields. But if they did not take the yoke off the oxen after the day's work, that would be very uncomfortable for those oxen all night long. And that would be a type of a burden or a problem in somebody's life. So, but the Bible tells us that the anointing destroys those problems, those yokes in the lives of God's children. So say this, the anointing removes burdens, problems, heals, delivers, and removes oppression. When burdens are destroyed and yokes are broken off, the result is a great time of joy or a great time of refreshing. Now go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, a well-known portion of scripture, right? Acts 2, 1. I'm going to use the New King James translation here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50th, 50 days after crucifixion, the day of Passover, the day of the giving of the law of God, the law of love, written on our hearts. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now it says they were all filled. Interestingly enough, for those Catholics here this morning, Mother Mary was in that group of 120. You can see who was in the group if you read chapter 1 of the book of Acts. And she was there. So Mary spoke in tongues, if you want to know about that, if you're a Catholic. So Mary spoke in tongues. And all were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to another, what could this mean? So coming to Jerusalem at this time for this feast, people from all over the world who were Jews came. And they were in the streets, they were packed out everywhere. And when the 120 came down from the upper room, overcome by the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in tongues, they were singing, they were free, they were totally overcome by the Holy Ghost. Understand that? They came into the streets and they looked drunk, because these people said they were drunk. So they looked drunk, overcome by the Holy Spirit. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. So this is only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and he quotes Joel, and it shall come to pass the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants, that's the men in ministry, And on my maid servants, that's the woman in ministry, I'll pour out of my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Being filled with God's presence brings such joy to the believer. Sometimes unbelievers may think the believer is drunk. That's what happened. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That word dissipation means it will lead to ruin. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writes to us and says that it seems that the Bible is saying that alcohol and being drunk with alcohol is Satan's cheap imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's Satan's cheap imitation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because being drunk with alcohol removes one's problems until they wake up in the morning and remember them again. However, the Holy Ghost breaks the burdens, removes the yoke, and destroys those problems and leaves you with joy. Amen. That's a very big difference, right? All right, now go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'd like you to see this in your Bible. Verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joy in the Holy Spirit, family. Now go to Psalm 126. And we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 126, so it'd be good for you to turn there. All right, and verse 1. I'm using the NIV translation here. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, when he brought back the captives to Zion, the anointing, Zion is a type or symbolizes the anointing, the presence of God. So when the Lord brought back the children of Israel to Zion, to Israel, Zion is Mount Zion in Jerusalem, we were like men who dreamed. We were like men who dreamed, lost in the spirit, in other words. Our mouths are full with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. So our mouths are full with laughter. I don't know if you know what, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you've ever maybe been at a restaurant or something and you put some food in your mouth and they ask you a question, now you can't talk because you've got food in your mouth, right? So when your mouth is full of something, it's full, right? There's nothing else that can go in there. Nothing else can go in, or it's just full. The Bible said the mouths were full of laughter. That means that all there was coming out the mouth was laughter. And our tongues were songs of joy. So you see the connection with laughter and joy, right? Laughter and joy goes together. The presence of the Lord, joy and laughter, all connected. So we can't really have wet without water. And it's difficult to have water without being wet, right? That's if you get in it. Likewise, if you're going to get the Spirit of God and the presence of God, you're going to get joy and you're going to get laughter. You're going to get happy. Is happiness a problem for anybody? Just checking. All right, verse 3 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are full with joy. Filled with joy. Praise God. All right, now Psalm 16, you write in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, or Psalm 16, and verse 11, the A part says, in your presence is fullness of joy. So we see again the connection between the presence of God and joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, the world, the unsaved, they don't ever have joy. They can't experience joy because joy is a fruit of the born-again spirit. They have happiness, and happiness is dependent on circumstances. So if the circumstances are favorable, they've got happiness. And if it's not, they've got sadness. So that's why the unsaved are unstable. But we have the Holy Ghost in us all the time. His presence is in us all the time. So we have joy no matter what the circumstances may be. And we have the Word of God. We know that He is our deliverer and provider, and He will solve our problem. Amen. Just like David said to the giant Goliath, "This day the Lord will give you into my hand." Amen. This is the Lord's problem. Say that. When a problem comes your way, say this. This problem is the Lord's, and He gives me the victory. Again, this problem is the Lord's, and He gives me the victory. And that's more or less what David said to Goliath, his problem. Amen. All right, Psalm 16, verse 11. "You will fill me with joy in your presence." Praise the Lord. That's NIV. Now, let's go to Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So here's a person arriving or going to heaven or coming to heaven. And Jesus could have said, "Enter into the presence of the Lord," because that's exactly what heaven is the presence of the Lord. But instead of saying "enter the presence of the Lord," He said, "Enter the joy of the Lord." Why? Because it's the same, right? The presence brings the joy. Amen. Thank you for those three holy amens. All right. So that when the presence of the Lord brings joy, we enter the joy when we enter the presence. You can't have one without the other. Right. Now then, let's go back to Psalm 32 and verse 11. It says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You're righteous and shout for joy. Be you righteous and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." That doesn't make sense. Is this wrong typing? "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous and shout." No, okay. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." So, shout for joy. There it is again. Praise the Lord. It didn't say, "Think about joy." He didn't say, "Whisper joy." He said, "Shout for joy." Amen? So it's not wrong to shout in church. Not wrong to shout in church. I heard this story, and I'm sure you have, many, many years ago, of the Pentecostal Christian went to a very traditional church on vacation, and the preacher said something that they liked, and they said, "Praise the Lord." And so the two people in front of them turned around and looked at them. And then the next time the preacher said something that they liked, they said, she said, "Praise the Lord, this dear old lady." And then like 20 people turned around and looked at her. And the third time he said something she liked, she said, "Praise the Lord." And then they picked her up, the two deacons were carrying out the church because she's disturbing the peace, you know. So when she got to the door and they're carrying her out, she shouted back to the congregation because they're all looking at her. She said, "Praise God, when Jesus went into Jerusalem, he only had one donkey, I got two." So some people, some churches don't like joy or happiness. But the Bible said you can shout for joy. Now when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt en route to Canaan, the land of milk and honey, they were full of joy. The Bible said in Psalm 105, verse 43, God brought out his people with rejoicing. His chosen ones with shouts of joy. His chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for. So when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and went to Canaan, the land of milk and honey, they inherited houses and lands that other people had built. Amen? Which they didn't build. They received all that wonderful blessing, fruit trees, vineyards that they didn't plant. Amen. They never toiled for. 45, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws, praise the Lord. Now the New King James translation says, Psalm 105, 44, the B part, they inherited the labor of the nations. They inherited the labor of the nations. Now should we not experience the joy of our salvation as well? Because God delivered us from Satan's kingdom and brought us into his own kingdom, Colossians 1:13. You see, them coming out of Egypt and going to Canaan is a shadow, a type of us coming out of Satan's kingdom as slaves to the devil, in bondage to death, sickness, and poverty, into Christ's kingdom. Now we experience joy, victory, freedom, peace, financial provision, health, heaven, eternal life. All these good things we have inherited. Now that's the. This is the substance. This is the reality which casts the shadow. The shadow is what Israel experienced. That's the type and example of what we have. So the point is, if they experience joy in the shadow of what we have, should we not have joy in the reality of what we have? Because we have the true kingdom of Christ in our hearts and we're going to live there forever. Now we have a land, of milk and honey, do we not? We have an inheritance, do we not? Which words fail to explain in its fullness. All that our Lord Jesus bought for us at Calvary is our inheritance. All that our Lord Jesus bought for us at Calvary is our inheritance, child of God. Words can never explain in its fullness all that we have inherited. Amen? All that we have inherited. I just know that it's going to take millions of years in heaven for us fully to grasp the revelation of what Christ purchased for us on that cross. Amen? So should we not have some joy in our lives, or should we walk around all day like a prune that's shriveled? Amen. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, God drowned the army of Egypt in the Red Sea. Amen. God drowned the entire army, what was left of them, in the Red Sea. His chariots and horsemen all drowned. Pharaoh didn't go into the sea. He stood on the shore. And Miriam and all of Israel danced on the other side when they got to the side of the sea. Danced with joy, tambourines and singing, because they had been brought out of slavery and they were set free from Pharaoh forever. And I don't know if they could see across. It's about 20 miles. I don't know. Maybe it was a clear day. They could see across. Maybe, I don't know, to the other side. And they would have seen, if they could, they would have seen Pharaoh, a lonely figure, standing on his own on the shore, on his side of the sea, the Red Sea. And they had looked at him and thought, Egypt is destroyed. Pharaoh has no army. There he stands, a lonely, defeated, destroyed figure. He'll never worry us again. And that's the children of Israel felt. And they danced for joy. Now, family of God, Satan stole Adam's authority and was using it against the human race to kill us. But Jesus came into Satan's den, conquered him, defeated him, rose from the dead, and gave us Christ's own authority over our enemy. So now he is defeated. We have authority over him. He's afraid of us. Do we understand the victory? We don't have to worry anymore about our enemy, the devil. He is a lonely, defeated figure, burning up from the inside with his own hatred, and he will spend eternity in the fires of hell. But you and I have been set free from his bondage and slavery. Amen? We have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to rejoice for, about. Amen? We have been delivered from Satan's kingdom. We have been given authority over our enemy. So dancing then and praising God with joy and laughing is a declaration to the angels and to Satan that God has delivered us from Satan's power and that he has set us totally free and given us authority over our enemy. See, our joy and our laughter is a sign, a symbol, a declaration to the devil and demons. They can see that we are free from his influence and authority and that we are God's children and we're standing on this side of the Red Sea and he cannot hurt us. No evil shall befall you. No plague come near your dwelling. Amen. Praise God, dear child of God. So, this morning, we are going to allow the Holy Spirit his freedom in the service to be poured out among us. He said, I'll come to you like the rain, like the former and latter rain. Pour it out. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit in these last days. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring us a time of refreshing here today. So, if you want this time of refreshing this morning, close your eyes. Let the Holy Spirit touch you, fill you with his joy, and refresh your heart. Encourage you, wash away the turmoil, confusion, the stress from the days before that have gone by. And let him encourage your heart this morning, fill you with his peace and joy. Take away all the burdens. The anointing breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. Let that be your portion here this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Is God good, family? Now, you can just stay where you are. Just bow your heads, everybody. Close your eyes. How many of you would say, Apostle Theo, I don't know where I'm going when I die. And I don't have this joy. I'm sitting here this morning. I don't have this joy, but I'd like it. But I don't know where I'm going, so I'm sad. Well, if I didn't know I was going to heaven, I'd be very sad and worried. But this morning, the good news is, you don't have to be, because today, Jesus can give you the assurance in your heart that you will go to heaven. You will go to heaven. And if that's what you need, I'm going to pray a little prayer and one little prayer, and God's going to give that to everybody who wants it. Anybody who wants it. And if you want that assurance, slip your hand up when I count to three and I'll include you in my prayer. Okay? If you'll slip your hand up when I count to three, I'll include you in my prayer and you'll get that assurance right where you're sitting. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. I see those hands. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I see those hands. Praise God, praise God. Now somebody is coming to put their hand on your shoulder. Why? To let you know that we love you and to let you know Jesus loves you. All right? And then I'm going to pray. There's somebody, wherever you are, just put your hand up. Wherever you're standing or sitting, put your hand up. Okay? Here come little workers now to put their hands on your shoulders. All right, now I'm going to pray this little prayer, and I invite everybody present to say the prayer with me. Everybody present, please say the prayer with me, especially all of you that have your hands raised. Especially all of you that have your hands raised. Say a little prayer with me this morning. And let's talk to God from the heart. Let's talk to God out loud from the heart. Don't be shy. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to that cross where you punished him because of the sins I have committed. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place and my punishment. I ask you, Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sin and come into my heart and save my life. Thank you, Jesus. I declare Jesus is the Lord of my life. And this morning, I declare I am saved. I'm bound for heaven. God is my Father now. And I'm saved. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me.
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.